Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
It's the Luke and Pete Show. I'm Pete Donaldson. Hope you had a good week. It is now Thursday. We're nearly ready for the weekend, 19th of January. Luke Moore, are you ready for the weekend tomorrow and another day?
Am I ready for it? Yeah, I mean, it's weird though, isn't it? Because our working weeks are a bit different, aren't they? So I sometimes do get that Friday feeling. I'm normally in the office on a Friday and I will be in the office tomorrow. So probably not quite there yet. Although I love my job, I can certainly kind of feel like the first tinglings of being ready for the weekend. Pete, you're not a weekend dude anyway. You live your whole life like it's the weekend, baby.
I do, yeah. And I do get that kind of Friday feeling. I get the Friday feeling when something comes my way. I can't remember what was advertising back in the day. I get that Friday feeling, definitely. And I, you know what? I don't resent doing the odd bit of work over the weekend, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because it feels like quite optional, even when it's very much not optional. Like, you just feel like, you know, at least it's the weekend and no one's going to suddenly give me a bit more work because everyone's doing stuff. So I think the weekends might be the best time to do work.
Well, that's a depressing way to start the show.
It is a depressing way to start the show.
I feel like if I'm doing the ramble on a Monday, because obviously that's recorded and then put out straight away, so we do that Monday morning first thing. I do quite like the sexy feeling of being ahead of it by doing a bit of prep on the Sunday night, baby.
Right, okay. That's what what you need to do is move to the sea and then you've got almost 2-hour commute. Like, and a 2-hour commute and you're like, I'm sorted now. I'm absolutely sorted. I've got everything.
Do
I've got everything
train.
In my head.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up near the sea, didn't I? So I didn't do any commuting.
You did, yeah.
And I was back there, sadly, for a funeral service a week or so ago. And I had, for one reason or another, I was pottering around, I was driving here, there and everywhere doing some errands. And I remember thinking to myself, this is actually probably quite a nice place to grow up, thinking about it. Obviously, you only have your own experience. You can't compare it to anywhere else. But at the time, obviously, because it was a small town, I was probably fairly desperate to get away. And I haven't been. I haven't lived there for 20 years or whatever, but longer than that even. But looking back on it, growing up by the sea was actually pretty nice. We used to get on our bikes and ride down. Well, it wasn't like the Bahamas or whatever, but it'd be nice to ride down on your bike down to the beach and in the summer and have a good old time. I think I probably took that for granted at the time.
Yeah, no, massively. But everything looks better when you look back, I suppose, isn't it? Everything looks back and it sort of says it's...
You know what they say, Peter? Nostalgia's not what it used to be, mate.
There we go. Good stuff.
Good joke,
but I do feel sorry for those kids with their mobile phones.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember when bin men were friendly? They come into your house, cook themselves some dinner, make themselves a cup of tea, sit on your sofa, watch your telly, tell you a joke.
Yeah, you'd get up and they would have already made you a sausage sandwich.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Do you remember when bin men would come every day and fold all your laundry?
And the whole world was a big bin.
Yeah.
Just constant bin. And you would try and put your rubbish in the bin inside your house. And then a bin man would kick open the front door, grab that bit of rubbish and run out to the front. And you'd never see that rubbish again.
Nah.
It was so weird.
You'd accidentally knock a bit of rubbish, a bit of packaging off your kitchen counter. And before it hit the floor, a bin man was there.
He'd be doing like a kind of like last gasp gone bank save for not to bother your floor.
Yeah.
Bin men everywhere. Just bin men coming out the walls.
Do you know when you want to go to the shop and buy something and they would say, you can have it. In fact, we'll pay you to have it. And And everyone knew everyone. Do you remember when, like, back in the day when everyone knew each other's blood type and could automatically sort out blood transfusions themselves?
And everyone's doors, they weren't just made of paper, but they were made of massive vacuums and it would suck people into your house.
And so be friendly.
How welcome it was. Be nice. And we'd all wear T-shirts saying, be nice.
Do you remember when everyone used to gather around the wireless and the radio, the wireless would play a different song at the same time, which was everyone individually's favourite song?
I do remember all of that stuff.
Yeah, it's great, wasn't it?
Yeah,
life's shit now, isn't it?
The past was fantastic. Like, shit now, yeah. Yeah. Weather's crap.
Yeah.
We're all going to die.
I'm fed up of these days. I walk down my road and everyone I see punches me in the face. I'm fed up of it.
I mean, that is... There's another thing.
Every step I take outside my house
people
at the moment,
punching you in the noggin. Yeah.
It's just... Do you remember the roads weren't made of dog shit? Anyway, Pete, I went to the theatre last week.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, baby.
Did you go with your local bin, man?
No theatres when I was a kid.
No.
Made your own theatre. Punch and Judy, that was. It was only just Punch and Judy.
It was the oral history. It's the oral folk history time, wasn't it? You'd sit down, Mama do Macbeth, Dada do, I don't know, like in The Tempest.
The other one.
Yeah, the other one. The other one.
That's what came out of... do you know what? I will talk to you about the theatre in a minute. It was a really interesting thing, and hopefully the listeners will find it interesting. But before I do... all those revelations that came out about Prince Harry, and I'm not going to bore people with what I think about it because I don't think anyone gives a shit, but there is a really...
I think it's brilliant. It sounds like an absolute fucking riot.
I watched the ITV interview and I just got back from the pub. I'd been in the pub all afternoon on the Sunday with a couple of mates and I was sat there absolutely gripped thinking, I cannot believe he's saying this. I can't believe he's saying these things. But anyway, the thing that really stuck in my mind was that... I didn't know this, and it's amazing to me, because if you think of the scene, you imagine him doing it, that King Charles is apparently obsessed with Shakespeare. Apparently he spends all his time in his spare time reading it, reciting it, cutting around. Like, in a massive palace. That is an amazing energy. That's a great look.
But is that not kind of what you want out of the monarch? I mean, that is proper monarch behaviour. Don't mind it.
Imagine if it was 90 Day Fiancé. It would be the same.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a reality TV show off of like TLC. It wouldn't be the same. The fact that it's Shakespeare, it's great. It's great for the... that's a great line for the international audience. Because that's how Americans imagine the king anyway.
Exactly, yeah.
It was great stuff, I thought. Fantastic. I thought it was really interesting. But anyway, I went to the theatre to watch a play called Best of Enemies. Have you heard of it?
No.
It was
I'm going to give it a Google. Best of Enemies.
It was brilliant.
Theatre.
You would absolutely love it, Peter.
Right.
And I'll tell you the plot. It's based on a true story anyway, so there's no kind of spoilers.
It's got Zachary Quinto.
Yeah, the
from
guy
Mad
who played
Men.
Mr. Spock in Star Trek.
He wasn't in Mad Men. I'm talking absolute shit there.
You know, it's so funny. I said that to the wife I have access to. I said, oh, he's the guy from Mad Men. She's like, no, it isn't.
It's not. It's not the gay man who's in Mad Men.
No.
It's not.
No, I realised I hadn't actually seen Mad Men.
You've got an excuse.
It's got David Harewood in it as well from Homeland. So basically, it's set in 1968, which is an amazingly volatile, febrile year in American politics, domestically and foreign, of course, for all the obvious reasons. And but the detail is that that year was an election year, and there was Republican primaries and Democratic primaries, as you guys would have all seen, because you know everyone knows about American politics these days. But there's a TV network called ABC, who were languishing in third, way behind the two main networks, which were CBS and NBC. Mm. And CBS had Walter Cronkite, you know, the greatest newsreader of all time, and NBC had their own stuff going on. But no one was really doing anything different. It was all like newsreaders doing their thing. It's quite sober analysis and all the rest of it. And to try and get their ratings up... ABC introduced this idea, the first ever in American TV, of like a proper polemical one side and the other side debate between two big characters. The stuff you kind of see all the time on like Question Time Here Now and all the rest of it. I mean, it's descended into shit now, but it used to be quite interesting, right? Well, the first one they did in America was this. And it was on one side, it was Gore Vidal, who's this kind of very outwardly homosexual kind of writer, you know, philosopher, commentator, interesting dude. And the other side is this very conservative, as in like a contemporary of Enoch Powell, right-wing guy and editor of a magazine called The National Review, called William Buckley. Yeah. And what they did is they set him up on the on ABC to commentate and provide discussion and analysis from each side of the aisle ahead on every night of the Republican primary and the Democratic primary. And it all kind of, it's very interesting, and the whole play is about how they set it up and how they do it and behind the scenes stuff, which of course is fictionalized, but the main debates are kind of, they're all there for everyone to see. Anyway, the Republican one goes off and it's quite combative. The Democrat National Convention, which comes along afterwards, is very, very controversial because there is massive anti-Vietnam War protests. It was held in Chicago. The Chicago mayor himself, who I think was a Democrat, turned the whole thing into like a police state to stop anyone invading the convention. And it starts to get very tempestuous. Now, I won't tell you what happens, but you can look it up. If you're never going to go and see the play, you can look it up. It's on YouTube. The debates themselves are on YouTube. But it gets very, very problematic. And it was absolutely gripping. It was so well done. What they did on the stage is they had the two guys doing the debate, acting, of course. Then they had three big old-fashioned oval-shaped TV screens. And they would intersperse the actual what actually happened with the play.
I like that.
And a lot of stuff was narrated by a quite famous African-American intellectual called James Baldwin, who's very, very contemporary of King's and all the rest of it. And it's got people playing Aretha Franklin, people playing Martin Luther King. There's loads of stuff going on. It's really, really fucking good. And I would recommend it to anyone. I was gripped the whole way through.
I'm a little bit... That is giving me kind of hives about... cues.
Oh, mate.
You know, starting videos off.
They're so good at it. Like, I cannot believe how flawless they are. Because what I find amazing about theatre is that, and this is an obvious thing to say, but I think it sometimes gets lost. If you watch a big budget movie these days, say you watch a Marvel movie, right? The budgets are fucking gigantic. They do it in front of a green screen. They have so many chances, so many takes, all the rest of it. The shooting schedules are really long. Like, these guys are doing it live right in front of you, and they are perfect. I can honestly say the word I would use to describe that play, whether you like it or not, whether it's your kind of thing or not, the way it was performed was perfect. There's nothing wrong with it. Nothing has gone wrong at any point.
There's nothing wrong with it.
It's amazing. Like, it's amazing that it's amazing they can even learn that many lines.
Oh, I like that side of things. Like my partner Sarah, she did The Crucible 1 year, and then she did. It's a bloody thing. Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson.
A Few Good Men. How did she learn the lines then? How did she find that part of it?
She just does it. She just fucking does it. It's different, absolutely different breed. Yeah, but you think you can't do that. You can do that. I can't do that. I get too distracted. I can't learn more than two sentences. You could definitely learn lines. And Sarah's really good at learning lines. I just don't know how you guys do it.
First of all, I haven't done it. So don't include me.
But you remember things, like you remember phrases and key.
Well, I've just remembered the whole plot of that play from a couple of weeks ago, haven't I?
Exactly. Yeah, it's like being there. Don't need to go now.
I am very good. speaking of that, though, joking aside, did you see? There's a really good video that was shared on Twitter a number of weeks ago about it's Robert Duvall, the great actor, talking on a chat show from like the 70s or something about working with Marlon Brando in The Godfather.
Okay, yeah.
And he said that he was really excited to work with Brando and, you know, the greatest actor of his generation and possibly of all time. And, he wanted to make sure he was absolutely bang on for the scenes and all the rest of it. Anyway, he said by that point in Brando's career, he hadn't bothered learning any lines, right? And what they were doing was they were setting up they were dressing the set and putting everything ready for the scene. And these set dressers were in massive font putting his lines up on the set, off camera.
Yeah.
And Brando, at the time would come to do his line, he would just like look gaze over and read it.
Presumably you can tell by watching it.
Because I don't think you can.
All right, okay.
I think that's it is.
Well, I think that you see that in like Saturday Night Live. Like, I don't know why they don't do it digitally, but they'd still use big fucking massive cue cards, don't they? Like massive cue cards for the celebrity guests who may not, may not be across how what they're supposed to be doing at any one time. That's all scripted like that, and they do it with big old cue cards. But I'm fairly certain. Didn't he use an earpiece as well?
Yeah.
Towards
the very end of his career. But I think that might have been to do with Ill Health and stuff like that. But he did.
Right.
He checked out of trying for anything by that point. But apparently one of the outdoor scenes in The Godfather, his lines were up on a massive billboard, like an actual billboard. Which is amazing to think of, isn't
that's
it?
That's overhead you don't need, really, isn't it? That's overhead you don't
need. But Brando could like, just say, oh, this is what I want, and if you don't do it, I won't be in the movie.
Yeah, and also, but would you not kind of like, do you have to, would you not be, I mean, you can let him do that, but like, does it not, is he that much of the film? Like, is there that much stuff that he needs to sort of think about, really? Because he's not looking down the camera lens, so he can't read an autocue. So he can be looking off camera, and I don't think he has that many speaking bits in that film,
When he's on, he's on. Well, first of all, that is quite a controversial opinion on Marlon Brando's performance in The Godfather, which I think is widely considered to be pretty good. And secondly, I think it would break the illusion somewhat if you saw a guy's eyes moving back and forth like he was reading. So he must be good at it in some way.
I guess it has to be. I guess the lines have to be far, far away, so you can't see them. Scanning them.
Would people be surprised to know that this show every time is completely scripted? Do you think?
Yeah, every what's that thing again?
Yeah,
like, all of those ones, they're all scripted.
It's like when people talk about someone playing the piano badly. Well, you've got to be good at the piano to play the piano that badly. It's like this. You've got to be really good at this to sound this bad. Like, exactly. And that is part of it, isn't it? By the way, I think Johnny Depp had an earpiece for all his Pirates of the Caribbean movies, didn't he?
That was the rumor. See, Jeff Beck died. Touring with Depp not that long ago.
Yeah, he's what a legend. I heard someone's tribute to him the other day saying he could play the guitar like it was ringing a bell.
Yeah,
which I think incredible is a nice way of saying it. It's a shame, sad loss, but these people aren't going to live forever, Pete, unless they're Keith Richards, in which they very much.
But the thing is, like, he died with his boots on, a little bit like Tom Petty, died within weeks of him doing a big old fucking tour. It's amazing, really.
Well, the best one was John Entwistle, wasn't it? That was the best way of dying for someone of that nature.
How did he go?
I think he got found in a hotel room, having had a heart attack, surrounded by cocaine and quite a lot of prostitutes.
Well, look, it's fair dues.
I'm not going to judge the man. These days, sex workers, of course. I apologise for that. He was 57 years old, though. It's not actually even that old.
No, yeah, that is. You shouldn't be fucking around with cocaine post 40. I don't think. I think that's a fool's errand, personally.
Why are you looking at me? I'm not.
Why have you sold all your furniture? Why is that room so empty?
Just dropped $5,000 in cash. It was for paint. He didn't want to pay the VAT. I haven't done that, by the way, for anyone listening. I've paid it all on the books, and it's not my responsibility for the workers to pay their tax anyway. It's for them to pay.
That's not your responsibility. Exactly. You can do what you want.
By the way, I keep getting Christmas cards. I got a Christmas card this morning.
Where's that come from?
Is
that the state of play in your part of London?
You mentioned me sorting my house out, which I am doing at the moment. And honestly, things turn up and I'm expecting them to be things for the house. And I got a Christmas card this morning. It was sent on the 12th of December from Maidstone.
And all of your furniture, the place where you'd usually display some of your cards, is under sheets in the middle of the room.
I said, there's no point sending me Christmas cards. I've nowhere to put them.
I might start sending. Well, I might send you one for 2024. No, 2023.
You've never sent me a Christmas card.
I'm just bad at it, Luke.
You've
I'm
never
just
sent me
bad
any
at
kind of card.
I'm bad at all of that.
You've
presents. You've never sent me any kind of card. You sent me like gifts.
Yeah. Last Christmas, you sent me Wagyu beef for Christmas, and I sent you a massive slab of Tisky.
Beefy boys.
And this year we didn't do anything, did we? I don't know why.
No. Well, I'm glad nobody else reciprocated, because I was like, I had it in my head. I was like, someone's going to send me a fucking present. I'm going to be annoyed and upset that I've not reciprocated, because I've just been fucking World Cup fucked everything up,
I
think.
It did. And I think a tip I would dish out there to anyone who becomes friends with you, always send Pete a present, because he's so generous. He sends something four times better back.
And I said, but company with that, my anxiety just goes fucking. I've got more stuff to do now.
Yeah,
it's hard life, isn't it? It's tough.
It is tough.
Shall we take a short break and then come back with some fucking battery brands?
Let's do it.
Fucking battery brands.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Oh... Did you hear about the Bristol cemetery that's flooded and people keep slipping and the bodies keep falling out of coffins?
God.
It's happened twice now. Disgusting. Anyway, yeah. Battery brands. It's a Thursday. If you found a battery in a bit of consumer electronic car, we want to hear from you. Tucker has got in touch. Hello, my name is Tuckle. No, not Tuckle.
Tuckle? And we've called him Tuckle.
He's from Myrtle Beach, and I got confused, and I said Tuckle from Tuckle Beach. My name is Tucker, and I'm from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina in the US. I work at a guitar centre, and while changing the battery in a bass guitar earlier this week, I came across an interesting battery that I've never seen before. Maybe this is a new player. Actually, I think electroacoustic guitars, guitar tuners, guitar pedals to a certain extent, I think this is a real untapped bit of battery real estate.
Can I please just take a moment to enjoy a man called Tucker in a music shop in Myrtle Beach changing a bass guitar string? That is like an amazing amazing image.
Oh, it really is, massively.
Oh, so changing the battery in the bass guitar. I don't know what there would be a battery in the bass guitar. You say it's a semi-acoustic, is that what you're saying?
It's got to be acoustic or semi-acoustic, surely, for the microphone, maybe. I don't know. Either way, I've only listened to the show for a couple of months. Good on you, Tucker. And love the battery submissions. There's been enough of them. So I thought this was the perfect opportunity to send one in. Thanks for making the show. I'm a big fan. Good man, Tucker. Super heavy duty, fair man. Mercury and cadmium free.
It's a nice look. I thought it was going to be a new player. It's a really, really good battery
Korean.
To see. But our friend Andy sent those in. August the 8th of last year. So you're not that far behind the curve, but unfortunately it's not a new player on this occasion.
Unlucky Tucker. Better luck next time. This is an interesting one. Tom has got in touch. Hey, look, Pete, I've been renovating a very old building in Bristol and found all kinds of ancient stuff beneath the floorboards, including this flying bomb D-cell battery. I feel like I'm in a pretty good position here, but with your army of battery hunters, who knows? I hope it might be a new player, but I also appreciate the fellow hunters. Yes, lots of love, Tom. The flying bomb superpower, I mean, it looks like it's easily 1940s and 50s. I mean, like, that looks like an old motherfucking battery.
I think that's the best battery I've ever had seen chucked in there.
Yeah, it's a beautiful bit of work.
Look at the artwork on it, Pete.
Yeah, I mean, do you really want to be reminded of, you know, the world's shame? The Second World War, you know, bombs.
Remember the bin men in the Second World War?
Do you remember the
bin
men? They
cleaned up all the bombs, didn't they?
Exactly, they did. That's how we won the war, the bin men.
Oh, speaking of which, did you see that story about a guy in the Ukrainian conflict and, you know, the illegal Russian invasion of Ukraine, as I should say? A Ukrainian soldier who had a unexploded grenade successfully removed from his chest.
How fast? What? Get him in the cricket team? How did this happen? What do you mean?
Like, I think someone fired a grenade from a grenade launcher. It hit him in the chest and didn't explode.
How? What? The whole thing just lodged in his chest?
Yeah. It wasn't. How, it's not massive.
A grenade?
Yeah.
How did it lodge in his chest?
Right, I'll dig up
how
the story.
Fast would it,
for fuck's sake.
Did it partially explode and land in his chest?
No.
Because I don't know how someone would stuck... How could a ball, basically, just stick in your chest? Unless you had
absolute massive weapons. No, because it's from a launcher, so it's slightly...
Right, it was from a launcher. Thank you, sorry.
I said that.
Fine.
I fucking said that.
Did you say launcher?
Yes.
I thought somebody threw it. I thought, wow.
No.
What a powerful throw.
Yeah, in a way, I'd rather it didn't explode if you're going to throw it that hard. But anyway.
What a risk. Imagine how the... imagine how difficult that was to remove.
Yeah, they had to have two... I think they had to have two, like, bomb technicians, that have a surgeon. Obviously, it's a big operation, obviously.
Yeah.
I would say that's a reasonably pressured day at the office.
Yeah, just a bit. It's like fucking Jack Bauer or something. Yeah. Wow.
Anyway, flying bomb, speaking of which, Tom, as I'm sure this is going to be a surprise to no one, that is absolutely a new player. I didn't even know... I don't know if there is another one of those flying bomb batteries existing anywhere else in the world. So, needless to say, it is a new player. So, congratulations to you. We should share that photo on the socials because that is a great battery to look at as well.
Yeah, nice. A big fan of that. Thank you very much, Craig. And thank you for letting us think about that man with a grenade in his chest. Hello, gents. Hoping I have a new player. This is Craig from Portland, Oregon. Before Christmas, a lovely girl I began seeing felt sorry for me because I didn't have a Christmas tree in my home.
D.H. Lawrence.
When she came around the next time, she brought with her a lovely little light of Christmas
tree. Do the whole email in that voice.
Rather than thanking her for her kind gift, I immediately went for the battery holder. So rigorously that I actually snapped the plastic just to see if there was a potential new player awaiting me. Craig. Bit of foreplay.
I'm fully erect here.
Don't just grab at the fucking battery holder, pulling it open like that. Lordy. So no romance. Cue curious and confused looks from the said girl, and me having to explain the nonsense.
Don't do the voice, for fuck's sake.
Cue curious and confused looks from the said girl, and me having to explain the nonsense that is the Luke and Pete show, and in particular, the whole new Battery Player Chronicles. Safe to say, I did little to ease her confusion, and I'm wondering if she was dating a madman. Anyway, the hopeful new player is Intenso, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed that this will be third time lucky. All the best, and keep up the good work, Craig from Portland, Oregon. And I'm really sorry to hear about you breaking up with your missus.
Intenso. So look, if you have broken up with your missus, Craig, sad, and you know, but there are plenty more fish in the sea and all that. I hope this is salve to your wound. The softening of the blow will be that Intenso is a new player as well. So congratulations
nice.
To you. Two out of
like
three,
it.
Baby.
Big fan of that.
Not bad,
big
is
fan
it?
Of that.
Not bad.
Yeah, I think that's a good week. And are we seeing our goals getting easier to score? Are we seeing more kind of twos and threes every week? It feels like we are.
I don't really know. I think it kind of ebbs. I always feel like it ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
Are you still thinking about that grenade in that man's chest?
I am a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I thought
I am
so.
A little bit.
So I'll just tell you, I'll just give you a bit of detail. Because, you know, this is a great sequel to the man who had a World War One bomb up his bum.
Yeah, but he was very much, he had his own agency. He was very much involved in that. He launched that himself,
yeah.
so to speak.
Russian junior sergeant Nikolai Pasenko, 41, was hit while fighting in Ukraine. The grenade smashed through his ribs, damaged a lung, and lodged near his spine between the aorta and the inferior vena cava, the largest vein in the body. Despite the high risk of explosion, surgeons successfully removed the device, and the medical operations reported by Russia's defence ministry. It's actually a Russian soldier, not a Ukrainian soldier, so I should apologise
right, okay.
for that. But there's some great pictures of it. It was fired from an automatic mounted grenade launcher called the AGS-17, if that's of interest.
Lovely. Okay, so it's a soldier grenade. Oh, there's like a little X-ray of it. Wow.
Well, what I didn't like about the coverage of it is it like there was a couple of photographs from inside the operating theatre while they were doing it. Get out. Clear the room.
well, one of them's like the military doctor's just kind of got the grenade in his hand and he's got sort of looking at it with blood all over his hands. I mean, it's just got to go. Ooh,
right, you can come in, delicious. Take a photo, but you better not drop the lens cap.
Just throwing it. That's incredible. Yeah. What a performance.
Yeah,
what
there you go. See, so it's an interesting story of what is quite a horrific horrific situation, of course, to say the least. Before we go, I just wanted to pivot again slightly and say to you that I found out the other day that a couple of things about old London, which will be interesting to our international listeners. There's two facts that I read in the last week from the excellent Mark Morris, which is Mark with a C. He's a brilliant... English-based historian, specialises in the Anglo-Saxon era or the Dark Ages or something like that. I can't remember, but he's very good on Twitter. And his claim to fame is that Scarlett Johansson once kind of interacted with him on Twitter about some historical weird thing, and he's always talking about it. It's quite funny, quite random. Anyway, he said that according to a lot of sources that he's read way back in the day, I think 12th, 13th century, that a lot of renters in England paid their rent in eels.
Nice.
So eels were apparently such great currency back then. People loved them. They ate them all the time. They were abundant in all the rivers. People would pay their rent to their landlord directly in eels, which is like, it just sounds like something Monty Python would make up.
Yeah, how many eels could one realistically need, I suppose?
Yeah, and the second one is that, you know, Billingsgate Fish Market?
Yes.
So that pays a rent to the City of London.
And
it has done since its launch in 1699 on its Docklands site. The rent is, to this day, and has always been since 1699, payable to the City of London, one fish per year.
Nice.
So someone
okay,
has to
so
go there
it costs.
And give them a fish every year for the rent on that on that site.
Can you post it to them? I mean, that seems quite strange.
What fish do they want?
Exactly, yeah. We used to do a feature on the breakfast show on XFM with a fishmonger
not that mad guy with the mustache.
Yes,
he's amazing.
He is amazing.
Very problematic though.
He would constantly sell expired fish. He's, I believe, he's now a turf accountant, I think, somewhere. But he was very much a guy who would come on, and I remember ringing up and sort of going, "Look, we want to talk to a fisherman every week. A fishmonger every week. Have you got anyone?" And the woman just went, "You want to talk to Roger?"
Yeah.
And to be fair, we did want to talk to Roger because he was an incredible. He's still with us. He's an incredible,
character.
Just new character.
Well, do you know what, Pete? I saw a documentary episode. I think the BBC did a documentary series. I want to say maybe, and I might be wrong on this, but I think it was around the different types of markets in London. So Smithfields and Spitalfields and Billingsgate. And the episode they did on Billingsgate was with that guy following him around. And I know nothing about him. I mean, I'd have no idea what his story is. But that documentary episode, I remember thinking to myself, my God, he has got more charisma than most people on TV. Like, he should be on TV. He's an incredible character.
There's a woman who is in, there's a TV show about adopting dogs. It's called The Dog House or something on Channel 4. And they basically go to a place called Wood Green. There's not the Wood Green in London, somewhere in the middle of nowhere. And it's got this massive, this is basically where adopted dogs go to, fostered dogs go to.
Yeah.
And there's one of the sort of people who look after the dogs who's always on the telly on this show, and she's like quite skinny, relatively good looking, got good teeth, and she's got like a very kind of like television way about her, and I'm predicting that she's going to be doing all kinds of jobs all over the place. If she's not had fucking screen tests for the one show at this point, I don't know what my idea of what television
great
is.
Great talent she's spotting just, by you, that Pete.
But it's just no, it's not a great talent. It's depressing because I find it quite dull. But she just looks the part. She sounds the part. She's very friendly. People will know who she is, and she will no doubt have a couple of country file style shows before the end of the year end of next year. It's five my way, yeah, exactly.
And you'll be presenting with her like a new Jermaine Genius. He's done well. Jermaine Genius has done well for himself. My brain kind of accepts him as a presenter now.
There was a lovely, somebody sent us a clip of, Sean sent us a clip of Jermaine Genius talking to, Gordon Ramsay was on the show.
He was, I saw and that when I was in the gym the other day.
Was that the one where he was where somebody sent in a, for Christmas, instead of a chocolate fountain, they made a gravy fountain?
So this is interesting because
you heard it without sound.
Yeah, because I was listening to something on my headphones, like I don't see the subtitles, and it was very confusing. But I saw the exact scene on the TV. Yeah, I don't know what happened out of it because the subtitles were too slow.
Exactly. So this guy had sent a picture in going, "Oh yeah, over Christmas I made a lovely gravy fountain for the roast dinner." And Jermaine Genius was like, "That's brilliant. That looks great." And Gordon Ramsay gave it the shortest of shrifts.
Yeah, I bet he did.
Basically said, "That's disgusting." I bet that's Bisto as well. Disgusting.
Gordon Ramsay is amazing on social media, where he does that. He does a series of this so often. I think it's on TikTok, where people send their food in and their recipes, and he does a voiceover on it.
Yeah,
does an amazing line in getting like properly angry. Like, his insults are so good. Like, I honestly think, you know, it's funny, isn't it? This is all the same thread we're talking about here. Like, some people are just brilliant, like charismatically magnetic on the screen. Like, yeah. I remember I did a elected photography module when I went to uni the first time with a guy, and he came in from outside. He was like a visiting lecturer, and he photographed he did photography for a term for us, right? And he was brilliant. He was like, he didn't give a shit. He was like proper, been around the houses, been around the world, quite an old guy, looked like an old mod kind of thing, but he was really good. And he was telling stories. He used to go to the bar after the lectures every week, and we'd go and he'd tell stories and stuff. And he said to me once that he photographed Robert De Niro. I might have told you this story before. And he said that Robert De Niro walked in the room and no one really noticed. He was like the most meek, mild, quiet guy. And when they put the camera on him, it was like fucking hell. Like, it exploded through the lens. He's like looking at a completely different person. And I often think about that when I see someone like Ramsay, who is essentially, I know I'm over the top about Ramsay. I think he's amazing. I think he is the most natural person on TV. The TV shows he makes are so fucking good. It's unbelievable.
Yes. Well, yeah, I think he picks his projects well, and you just know what you're going to get from him, and that's satisfying.
He's like the Daniel Day-Lewis of like a factual telly. Like, honestly, I watch Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares like all the time. Anyway, let's get out of here, Peter. I think we're over time, and I think you've got to go, baby. You're 10 minutes late for the next thing you're doing.
No, got to go. All right, guys. We'll have a lovely weekend. We'll be back on Monday doing our thing.
Thanks a lot.
Take it easy.
Take it easy. Bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.